Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. That's good. Next, I take an ice bath.
Ooh, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes.
Breakfast is raw liver.
Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time. Signos.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Ever since he came into the game, 50 Cent has been terrorizing the industry. Whether he was talking about which famous rappers he'd like to rob on his early tracks, or these days when he takes delight in the downfall of others, Curtis Jackson has always been a problem. And a lot of people knew it. That's why when he first started popping off, people like Jay-Z told their crews that they would have to come harder than ever to keep up. From those early days onwards, 50 has had a reign of terror like few hip-hop artists before or since. And today, we're gonna break down his fellow artists who felt his wrath. And when it comes to those who face some serious uphill battles after tangling with the G-Unit leader, there's one man who has regularly stood out as the biggest victim of all, and he goes by the name of Ja Rule. Back in the era before 50 rose from Jamaica Queens drug pusher to Dr. Dre and Eminem co-signed MC, Ja Rule was basically at the pinnacle of the game. At the height of his career, Ja couldn't release an album that didn't promptly hit the top spot of the charts. Meanwhile, his string of radio-friendly singles like Always On Time, Put It On Me, and Between Me and You meant that he was really a force to be reckoned with on the singles chart. At one point, he was even set to join a supergroup with Jay-Z and DMX until it all fell apart when their egos collided. But what he and the team at Irv Gotti's renowned Murder Inc. label didn't expect was that a local rapper from New York was not only about to come and knock him off his perch as one of the city's most respected and commercially viable MCs, but would also play a role in completely destroying his career. The bad blood between Ja and 50 dates back to 1999, shortly after men linked to infamous crime lord Kenneth Supreme McGriff were alleged to have shot at 50, he went on the warpath against anyone with ties to him. Among those was none other than Irv Gotti and, by extension, Ja Rule. However, it wasn't one-way traffic, as the bad blood extended to the fact that 50 was friends with someone who had stuck up Ja for some loot at one point.
A friend of mine's robbed Ja Rule, and I'm in a club, and I see the nigga, I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, I'm chilling. He see me kicking it with the nigga that robbed him, and he feel like, oh shit, I shouldn't speak to this dude, because I know the kid robbed him, but I know this kid, I grew up with him.
The way 50 tells it, Ja and Irv were just posers, and he had no problem questioning his street credibility.
I'll tell you personally, the Murder Inc., the people that you see, like Irv, Ja, the people that are involved in the business aspect are bitches. Like, these niggas don't got no hood in them.
Yet in Ja's version of events, things went very differently, with 50 catching a beating during this encounter.
The talk got heated because I got mad and I started screaming at him and telling him that, you know, he was a bitch and this, that, and the third. And so he swings at me. You know what I'm saying? He caught me a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But I dipped it and then hit him with the bat. Boom! So now we start tussling. We used to be tussling. Now my niggas is there. He got a few niggas with him there. Me and my niggas proceed to whoop his ass while his niggas did nothing. They sat back and watched the whole shit.
As 50 began to send disses Ja's way during his fabled mixtape run prior to signing to Shady and Aftermath, Rule refused to really respond on wax. Instead, he chose to enlist a lesser Murder Inc. artist to make it physical and perhaps deter 50 from dissing him any further. On one fateful night, Irv and Black Child confronted him at the Hit Factory where Black Child stabbed 50.
Not me, because it was like 10 niggas that were getting in on in the dark. One of the niggas with 50, like, yo, where the gat at? What? I just start hitting niggas, vom. Because I first thing kicked in my mind, if niggas get to the gat, one of us is dead. But I felt the gat was in the area and niggas was reaching for. Know what I mean? And I wasn't letting nobody get to their gun to pop me. Know what I mean? So I started poking niggas straight up and down. And that's the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God.
This led to 50 requiring stitches, but rather than focus on his ill will towards Ja, Curtis Jackson chose to focus on advancing his career. Soon, he was signed to Eminem, Dre, and Interscope. This meant that as Ja's firepower was running low, 50 came with a whole artillery behind him. Now that he was aligned with M, Ja, whose label was facing a federal investigation by the feds at that time, now deemed 50 a worthy target to beef with on wax. And unfortunately, the turning point came when he dissed Eminem's daughter, spitting, "Your mother's a crackhead and Kim is a known slut. So what is Haley gonna be when she grows up?" After initially shelving the beef as to not garner a negative reputation, this gave 50 the green light to eviscerate Ja on his boss's behalf, and he didn't hesitate.
When I left that meeting, I didn't want him to feel like he brought a problem, so I wouldn't say anything about Ja Rule. I kept it, I didn't say one
thing. How long did the meet last?
It was like, when I met him the first night I met him, he had an event. It was the Marshall Mathers LP just came out the first week. He sold 1.7 million records. And he was so excited about me that I'm looking like, "Are you serious?" You know what I'm saying? Like, yo. And by the time I got back, and I would never say anything about John until the first time I said something about him.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I made a mistake and said something about Haley. When he said something about Haley, he thought that they made some sort of kind of connection when they was getting high or some shit like that. And I'm like, what the f*** made him think like this? Like, it was, and I'm like, it was a Friday evening. M didn't record that Friday. I recorded that Friday, that Saturday, that Sunday. He came back. I had a full CD, Automatic Gunfire. It was my whole mixtape, Automatic Gunfire, was done Monday morning. He was listening, going, "Yo, when did y'all get a chance to, all this shit, this was this weekend?" Like, I was dying to do that. I just didn't want him to feel like he brought a problem, because I knew he didn't understand the severity of who I am.
With tracks like Haley's Revenge and others, 50, G-Unit, and the Shady Crew set out to destroy Ja, and it was a smear campaign that succeeded. Because where he was previously at the top of the game, 50 had positioned both himself and his nemesis in such a way that Murder, Inc. just weren't cool anymore. Or in some people's opinions, 50 capitalized on the sentiment that was already out there and just drilled it home. 50 had a machine behind him, and it wasn't a hip-hop feud, but a pop feud. Everyone wanted to hate on Ja, and 50 had the platform via radio skits and web outlets going at Ja 24/7. I remember serious hip-hop heads were already getting tired of Ja, and his collabs with singers and his awful singing on hooks before 50 hit the scene. Plus, there is a feeling that Ja was playing a role, whereas 50 undoubtedly was from the streets and was hard as f***. In hindsight, Irv and Ja know that they were just outgunned and outmuscled by a rapper with momentum and a superior backing. With that, he had the power to diminish their credibility.
It was orchestrated very well. He was a part of the juggernauts at that moment. Eminem, Dre, they were very, very big in what they were doing as well. So as we were big over on our side, they were also big on their side. There was a lot of things that were falling apart for us. It was easy for him to get people to turn on. And there was things that were behind the scenes that y'all don't see that also made us seem more irrelevant. You know, like, we couldn't go to award shows.
Crazily, Irv can even remember the moment that they knew they were cooked. And it was when 50's first smash single landed, giving him all major commercial push needed to crush them.
And here comes Flex at 7 o'clock. "I got the new..." So he said, "All right, let's listen. Let's listen to it." Dun, dun.
It was nuts.
I'm like, "Oh, God, we're fucking Dre." Right? So boom. So then, oh, no, but wait a minute. You're bringing it back. So I'm like, "All right, the beat is nuts. He may have one, but let's see if he connected the dots lyrically." I turned to Rule and everyone in the office, and I said, "Yo, buckle up. We have a major problem.
This guy's hot."
In the aftermath, Ja's career was never the same, with tracks that would have once tore clubs up being drowned out by G-Unit supporters. Looking back, it's obvious that it's still hard for Ja to take.
I just think that was a weird moment in time. You know, it was really weird. But I understand it now. The hot new guy comes out. I've been killing it for 3 albums now, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? On every station, on everything, fucking commercials, this, that. You know, people get tired of artists sometimes. And I think when he came out and attacked my style and my character,
You know, people ran with it. He was the hot new guy. He was with Juggernaut and Interscope and M and Dre and those guys and Jimmy and the whole team over there. You know, so it was a lot going on. And it was a lot of behind the scenes, like, that people don't know about, too. Like
that said, he feels that 50 is given more credit for the falloff than he deserves, and that it was the federal indictment that Murder, Inc. was facing which really slowed their roll.
People love to leave this little part out of the story, but we're being investigated by the feds. The biggest part of the story, because I don't know, many people have not been investigated or indicted by the feds, but they fuck your world up. They shut your shit down. They shut down everything for Murder, Inc. So people do, they like to credit homeboy with, yo, they just, nigga, please, stop it. You know what I'm saying? We seen 100 billion rap beefs, nigga. You know what I'm saying? No one man shuts down the... Like, stop. What really hurt us was the feds.
Still, even with Ja basically vanquished by now, he has still continued to kick him when he's down ever since. Infamously, he even bought 200 front row seats at his Mortal Enemies show just to ensure that the place looked empty. In the story of John 50, we see why it's not a good idea to make an enemy out of him. But sometimes, even being 50's close friend and collaborator isn't enough to escape the more spiteful side of him. No one exemplifies this better than the members of G-Unit. Once seen as his soldiers, Lloyd Banks, Young Buck, and Tony Yayo are men that are synonymous with the early stages of 50's career. After signing his own deal, they found themselves on his G-Unit label, where they were not only provided a commercial platform, but spent time enhancing their writing abilities to take them from just MCs to hip-hop hitmakers.
All right, and time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
4-bar pieces, right? And my first 4 is gonna usually be aggressive, right? Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a line in that first 4.
Yeah.
Second 4 will be some type of breakdown. Mm-hmm. I might get bouncy with it, right? The next 4 is gonna be a little melodic cheat code. And that's what I got from 50. Because I was always bar heavy. The outros, the bridges, all of these things I learned from watching him record. And they were cheat codes because if I had the illest 16, he was still a show. I didn't have that.
Across Lloyd Banks' Hunger for More, Young Bucks' Straight Out of Cashville, the group project Beg for Mercy, and Tony Yayo's Thoughts of a Predicate Felon, there was a period where the crew could do no wrong. They even landed endorsement deals, guest starred in 50's video game, and overall became household names during their time in G-Unit. But eventually, 50 would grow embittered towards these men that he had given so much to, and over time, it would all go wrong. Arguably, they should have seen the warning signs when the game briefly joined their crew. To hear 50 tell it, he was just as instrumental to Games' career as Banks or Yayo's.
I went to meet Jimmy, and Jimmy was like, he played me Games' record. Game was in the studio with Dre for over a year at that point. He said, yo, what you think about it? I said, no, he can rap. I said, he's a great rapper. He's just not a good songwriter yet. If you fix this, I'm sure that everything is good between you and Dre and everything. I only worked with Game for 4 days. The 4 days that I worked with Game, I muted my vocals, right? On a documentary special, High at Church for Thugs, Hated to Love It. When he rocked to him, he did it. He nailed the shit.
Following his deal with Iveen, Game spent a brief, fleeting moment on G-Unit. But by the time that he was promoting his debut album, The Documentary, the wheels were already falling off. Then, it all came to a head when 50 revealed on Hot 97 that the game was kicked out of the crew, inciting a full confrontation that resulted in gunfire outside of the studio. Suddenly, Interscope, Dr. Dre, and Jimmy Iovine had choices to make, and unsurprisingly, they sided with their cash cow.
Because he financially and infrastructurally, he had to take sides with who Jimmy took sides with, which was 50. It made sense because that's where the bulk of the money was being made. And so at that point, you didn't want to piss 50 off because he was the breadwinner. Everybody chose sides, but I did the doctor's advocate and no one thought it was coming out.
With Game promptly kicked out of the crew without a second thought, it should have shown the rest of G-Unit how easily he could dispose of those who stepped out of line. But over time, their bonds went progressively sour too, with 50 publicly bashing them as though they squandered everything he afforded to them.
They're like my little brothers.
And you're not feeling them right now?
I like for them to work to sustain the interest in the public. Tony did it, you know. If he can do that, then it's dead. New 50 Cent, and then you heard these other guys' voices that you don't know from nowhere. They riding the wave. They don't know what it's like to have to grind. So I'm supposed to kill them now. I'm supposed to hurt them for not following instructions in front of people. I actually run things the way we run things at that point. They had Reebok deals and then forgot to wear the shoes, so I stopped paying them.
Come on, don't do that.
Young Buck claimed that he was stiffed on money prior to being kicked out of the crew in 2008.
I have to find out from somebody that's around me, like, yo, bro, you know, 50's on the radio up here kicking you out the crew. I'm like, what? Y'all crazy. Everything's all good. You know, I never know that it was that crazy. So soon he kicked me out. I'm like, what the fuck is this about? And then he started to say, oh, because I'm cool with Game, or those different things started to happen. Like, I'm cool with the enemies of him, or I've rocked with the enemies of him. And it wasn't that. It was that I'm active, so I would run into a few of these individuals, the Jim Jones, the Dipset individuals, the Jada Kisses when we had these beefs or whatever.
Left with $300,000 in tax debts, he was left to sit on the shelf until the repo men literally came to his house. Years later, an attempt to reunite fell apart due to the same lingering issues, with Buck still insisting he never got what he deserved.
We were 6 months into the situation, probably getting back together, and out of nowhere, this interview comes out. It was one of those interviews where prior to us getting back together, I had spoke on me not receiving any publishing or royalty check in my career, bro. Everything I done it's been off shows. At the time, he reacted to that so up that Sha Money was like, bro, 50's tripping out over this. And I'm like, Sha, what? How can I fix it? It's the truth. I ain't never seen a royalty check, but I never seen those numbers. 50 starts grabbing that $10 million line and even holds on to it today.
By the mid-2010s, 50 was ruthless when it came to discussing his former clique members, even referring to them as spoiled milk. In his mind, he expected them to make more of the opportunities they were handed.
Want to try a free sample?
Oh yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small throw my body off balance? Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill
insulin
cravings.
Sensitivity.
One piece.
Stop it! Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Cygnos.
Even if 50 was maybe trying to incentivize them to get after it and push themselves towards greatness, this is something that Yayo just couldn't abide by. As much bullets I took for G-Unit, he tweeted in response. My mom's crib got shot up, almost killed my sis and niece. Now I'm compared to milk. I made that brand. Since breaking up for the last time in 2015, Lloyd has largely distanced himself from 50, with Buck having to buy his masters out from under his former label boss. However, Tony Yayo has remained by his side, showing eternal gratitude for what 50 sent his way, even when it came with the occasional insult.
At the end of the day, look, 50 is my brother, Banks is my brother. I grew up with them. I loved them to death. Whatever which way, even if I wasn't talking to 50, I'm authentic. People don't gotta like me, because they always said, everybody ain't gonna like you in life. Wise man once told me that. 50 don't gotta talk to me tomorrow. Banks don't gotta go talk to me tomorrow. You ain't gonna see me with they ops. You ain't gonna see me with this guy. That's not what I do.
Although it seems like he'll always have Yayo as a hype man for as long as he's performing, he's still shooting at Buck and Banks to the point that he couldn't even savor the success of his final lap tour without getting a little jab in their comparative lack of relevance.
This is something. Wait till they see Lloyd Banks tour. Wait till they see Straight Outta Cash.
Considering that these men were once in his inner circle, it's obvious that 50 can hold a grudge when he wants to. So it's kind of shocking that in his beef with this next rapper, he actually chose to be the bigger person. In the early 2000s, 50 had smoke for anyone who was cool with Murder, Inc. As a result, his animosity towards Fat Joe kicked off when he chose to stand shoulder to shoulder with Ja Rule on the track New York. A decision which, given that 50 was already becoming a monster at the time, people close to Joey Crack asked him not to do.
Fast forward, Ja Rule, by the way, everybody, has 17 number one hits. He was Drake before Drake. And so he gets into the beef with 50 Cent. And so now everybody, when I say everybody, start walking away from Ja. You know, that's how Ja Rule was. And when he caught that smoke, nobody stand next to him. Wow. At that, because 50 Cent was, he was like some we never seen in America. It was a typhoon. So everybody that's cool with us, other rappers, is like, yo, Crack, get away from that boy. Chill. Like, don't be next to him. And I was like, y'all talking. I done went to war with murderers, not rappers.
With 50 getting at him on tracks like Hollow Through Him and I'm On Some Shit, among others, Fat Joe was also depicted in the Piggy Bank video as another enemy that Curtis had dispatched. Still, Joe, who released diss tracks of his own, refused to back down even when others were cowering in fear.
The only one fighting 50 back, man. What's good with that, man?
I tell him, suck my
dick. And soon, the whole thing spilled out of New York and into the view of the whole world when they were throwing shots at each other during the 2005 VMAs.
I like to tell the people home, I feel so safe tonight with all this police protection courtesy of G-Unit. And the winner is Missy Elliott featuring Sierra and Fat Man Scoop. Fat Joe is man.
Things carried on like this, with Fat Joe later reflecting on how hard 50 was going and the way that it got to him.
Some rappers think they war ready and they beef ready till they step into the beef and then they get somebody coming at them crazy. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what it's like to have beef with 50 Cent? 50 Cent is incredible with the beef. Not just musically, with every day he was going viral. Yo, your mother, your wife. I'm like, oh my God, this guy here. Like, don't get beef with 50 Cent. If you can't have thick skin, you gonna really go through it.
Because even once the smoke cleared on the whole jaw thing, he was still trolling him for years afterwards.
What's up? Yo, this is 50 Cent. I just want to thank everybody for showing their support. All the Get Well messages I got on thisis50.com. Yesterday, I listened to Fat Joe's record, It Hurt, and I told you people not to listen to his music. Some people didn't listen, and look what happened.
Feel it right here.
With everything that occurred, the Terror Squad leader felt that his issues with 50 could never be resolved. But in 2012, the problem was suddenly squashed during a BET Awards performance for the late Chris Lighty. And amazingly, it was 50 who made the first move.
When Chris Lighty died, I went to the funeral. So I show up and 50 Cent is in there. He's in the other side. You know, I don't see him. LL was there, Ice-T. And I leave. When I leave, my phone rings to Stephen Hill from BET. And he's like, yo, we're doing a tribute to Chris Lighty on the BET Awards. I perform Lean Back and then 50 Cent comes out.
Time is precious and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And he ends up right by where I'm at. And when the music stops, he puts his hands out and he says, peace for Chris Lighty. Chris Lighty wanted peace. Mm. So I'm looking at him, I'm like, peace? And all I'm seeing is all the shit this guy done said about me, did to me, did this. Seconds, I was like, yo, this dude is fucking amazing. And so when I shook his hand, I said, peace? He said, peace, man. Terror Squad, G-Unit for Chris Lighty. And that was it.
Now, these two count one another as friends, which is crazy when you think about how much smoke they once had for each other. With one feature on New York, Fat Joe bought himself years of back and forths with 50. But if you know that song, you'll know that he wasn't the only one on that track. And because of it, he was beefing with 50 alongside the only MC that truly garnered his respect. Hailing from Yonkers and aligned with Rough Riders as well as D-Block, Jadakiss was one of third of the most respected clique in New York hip-hop in the Lox. Alongside Styles P and Sheik Louche, they carved a gritty, quick, witted path through the rap game that bought them almost universal love. Well, except for in the eyes of 50. Initially, it was all good between 50 and Jada, as even at his most confrontational, it seemed like he admired Kiss and the crew.
I think Fifth was really a fan, you know, mutual fan, because we was rocking with him, rooting for them, you know, mm-hmm. always root for the underdog. His story is one of the greatest stories. He said on one of his best songs back then, all the other hard niggas, they come from Yonkers.
From Yonkers, so right.
That already, like...
That must have been, speaking about how you was talking about Yonkers earlier, a nigga from Queens doing that at the top of his game, that must have been crazy.
That's what
you.
I'm saying. That set a precedent, and we knew that he really meant that.
But that all changed when Jada popped up in New York. And suddenly, he was getting dissed on Piggy Bank from 50's sophomore album, The Massacre, with 50 spitting, "Jada, don't fuck with me if you wanna eat, cause I'll do your little ass like Jay did Mobb Deep." Yeah, in New York, they like your vocals, but that's only in New York, dog. Yo ass is a local. Suddenly dissed by a man who'd previously given him props, Kiss felt that him getting on New York was misinterpreted.
You and Joe hopping under the New York record with Ja Rule.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good segue to try to say he's standing close to his enemy, but he know that was...
It was an excuse.
we came in the game with Ja, so...
He was then asked if he thought or cared how 50 would feel while making the song. "I like the song. It was a good song. It was representing New York. I didn't have to answer anybody. I didn't think the song made it look like I was partnering up with Ja for his beef." But even if he felt that his intentions were completely skewed by 50, he didn't spend much time trying to apologize. Instead, he eviscerated 50's character on Problem Child and Checkmate, among others, coming at him on grounds of getting shot and not shooting back, living in Connecticut, and even leveling snitch allegations against him. But rather than getting his feelings about the whole thing, Jada believed that it benefited everyone in a way that other beefs don't.
"I made a lot of money off the 50 thing. I mean, it was this when the times had changed, was a different era. You know what I mean? Checkmate actually charted on billboards. You know what I mean? So that was a..."
He's like, "Yo, that was great."
I was making a lot. I was going off tour off that. Then I went to see Jimmy. Jimmy made sure I was good, telling him, "Jim, this is messing me up." "Oh, Jay, don't worry about it." The whole 50 thing was good for me. I appreciated that more than the Siegel one. The Fifth thing was beautiful. Because for me, he was selling that next album. He needed, you know what I mean?
And once again, it was 50 that was the man who decided to bring it to a close. In fact, they squashed it in person.
"He came through one day, he called to say, 'Oh, I'm coming through.' He came through by himself. He sat down, kicked it for a few hours. Me, him, and P. Sheik wasn't there. Sheik didn't come to the studio that day. But me and P, you know, updated him that everything was love. Mm-hmm. Sat there, kicked it. He actually had a song for me and a song for P to get on whatever album he was working on. And we've been good ever since. It wasn't even that serious. The people kind of blew it up more than it was. And
I mean, y'all was using it
for a marketing tool for that album. Because after the, you know.
Since then, it's been nothing but harmony between them. And lately, 50 has been re-examining this feud. As though he still believes he came out on top, 50 has said that the closest he came to tasting defeat was while sparring with Jadakiss.
"Is there any battle that you felt like you've lost or wasn't as victorious?"
"Nah. Yeah. I've had the artists have things a moment. Like they did something and I was like, 'Oh, that was good.'"
Right.
What are some of those?
Yeah. So what did you see that you was like, "Oh yeah, that was a good one right there"?
In between time, like the Jadakiss, he had put out some things.
On you?
Yeah, while we was back. And look, he could really rap. Like certain part look big. Even if the format didn't put it in a song, didn't make it feel like it's a problem.
A valid opinion, but maybe there's an element of deception in there. In fact, this might be the solid...
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Example on this list where it could be argued that he was the victim here. Saying he never lost a battle is nothing short of delusion. Jadakiss and Styles smoked him. Hip-hop warfare is a complex art, and sometimes the winners and losers aren't exactly crystal clear. Because in one case, 50 had to endure a hit to his pockets purely to destroy an enemy with a past that he wanted to stay hidden. By the time Rick Ross emerged on the scene with his debut, Part of Miami, 50 Cent had already been a superstar for years. But as often happens, a new up-and-comer tries to target a mainstay in the industry to try and get a boost in credibility. And after a chance meeting at the 2008 BET Awards, Rosé took his opportunity. "He says it started because I looked at him the wrong way," 50 told MTV. "That just means he wanted to compete. He wanted to move up. He wanted to create an awareness for himself, and he did it." Shortly after this encounter, which 50 didn't even recall, Rosé took it to the studio with Mafia Music. "I love to pay your bills. Can't wait to pay your rent. Curtis Jackson, baby mama. I ain't looking for a cent. Burn the house down. You gotta buy another. And don't forget the gas can. Jealous stupid motherfucker." In case that doesn't make much sense, what Ross is referring to is a house fire that engulfed the home of 50's baby mama, Shaniqua Tompkins. At that time that the incident occurred, 50 and Shaniqua were engaged in an intense custody battle over their son Marquise, as well as the house that went ablaze. Naturally, 50 wasn't going to take this and just move on. Instead, he dropped diss tracks like Officer Ricky and Warning Shot that would permanently change hip-hop's perception of Rosé. While it's now common knowledge that the man who named himself after a real drug kingpin has a past in law enforcement, this wasn't necessarily the case to begin with. But 50 was about to bring it to the world's attention.
"I can already see from here, from where I'm at, that this nigga's a total fraud. You're gonna really understand how resourceful I am, you know? And you're gonna see what happens when someone comes from the environment and absorbs all of the new information. Oh shit, Ricky's friends outside. You hear them? There they go.
Oh man.
Ricky's crew. He said he got a $2 million crew in New York City? He was talking about the NYPD.
From that day on and ever since, 50, who even created cartoons about Rosé being a correctional officer, ensured that it would come up in interviews ever since.
"So our first chance to talk about this.
Right.
Rick Ross, where did the picture come from? Was Rick Ross a CO? Was that created or is that a real picture?"
"The boss done did it all to get money. And what you gotta understand is, if rumors surfaced, it wasn't because of, and people feel like I didn't address them, it wasn't because of my selfish reasons. It may go to what was going on, who was involved. So what we did was we got with BET and we chronicled my life so people could understand."
As if slandering him like that wasn't diabolical enough, he interviewed his ex Tia before hanging out with Rick Ross's kid while hanging out in Vegas with Tia and Floyd Mayweather. Then in 2010, 50 leaked a sex tape of Rosé's baby mama online, which featured 50 providing commentary as his infamous Pimpin' Curly character. Although it didn't happen immediately, the pressure applied by 50 meant that Rick was eventually going to have to concede that he was truly a CO, and eventually broached it in 2014 with the bars, "That's why I had to play my part. That wasn't me. It was just a job." For the first time in his career, Ross had finally admitted to the worst kept secret in hip hop that 50 had spent over 5 years trying to expose. And in interviews, he eventually came clean.
"Most definitely refer to me being a CO. I wouldn't change nothing, you know, so, because to me it's about who Rosé is. It's about me. When anywhere I go and I step in the room, I put it down. People know it's authentic right here. They know it's real. So it was nothing that I was personally threatened with. I was just ready to move on.
Okay.
Let's go get this money. And right now, to feed my family, I'll do it again."
As much as this had an irreparable impact inflicted on Rosé's credibility, how hard he went in the beef inflicted damage on 52. In 2015, 50 was ordered to pay $5 million to LaStonia Leviston for the leaking of her sex tape. This led him to file for bankruptcy, and as a result, 50 routinely tried to countersue and claim that Ross was responsible for leaking the tape. To date, the issues between them have never truly been resolved, and by the looks of it, Rosé is still a little salty about it.
"And something else I seen that I thought was actually kind of cute, Charlamagne referred to 50 Cent as a diabolical genius. And me, you know, thinking the way I think of Charlamagne, he would know better than that. A diabolical genius doesn't file foreclosure, doesn't file bankruptcy, doesn't. It's not a diabolical genius. A diabolical genius for my next generation of young bosses. They buying Delta. They buying the Miami Heat. They making big boy moves. Cracking jokes on somebody don't make you diabolical."
Meanwhile, 50 will...
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Take opportunities to clown Ross when they arise, such as the fact when he and Meek Mill's joint album flopped.
When you sell 31,000 and 9 CDs, I shouldn't talk to you.
But if you think how he treated Rosé is disdainful, then it's nothing compared to the campaign he's been waging against Diddy long before anyone else had this level of grievance with him. By the time that 50 rose from rising star to serious prospect in hip-hop, Diddy had already been a mogul for over a decade. And at one time, he even joined the arms race to sign Curtis. But even though he opted for Aftermath and Shady instead, it wasn't a cause for any beef between them. In fact, to begin with, they were initially relatively friendly.
Get your hand out my pocket, man. Get your hand out my pocket. I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing on the channel. Get your hand out my pocket, man. Look at me when I'm talking to you. I see yo. I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing, man. I see what you're doing. Nah, look at me, man. I see what you're doing, man. Yeah, you gonna make me. Okay, I'm telling y'all right now, when I wanna work with Diddy, I'm gonna physically put my hands on somebody for the ratings. Because he's not gonna outdo me. I'm gonna go to Central Booking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm used to it. I know what it is, but you get your hand on my pocket. Get off my channel, boy.
But as 50 accrued his own level of power and influence, he began to start taking subtle shots at Diddy. And by 2006, he declared that Puff had something to do with the death of his friend and former leading artist, the Notorious B.I.G.'s death on The Bomb, spitting, "Who shot Biggie Smalls? We don't get him. They gonna kill us all. Man, Puffy know who hit that dude." But over time, things changed in the sense that they got worse. And eventually, he began to make comments about his sexuality.
When you continuously call Puff gay, does that affect your relationships in Hollywood?
I don't call him gay. I said,
Let me read it, Fifth. Oh my God. Sorry, I can no longer help you guys. Soon you will all be gay and happy. You are all now left under leadership of Puffy Daddy.
According to 50, it all started when Puff made some advances towards him that he didn't appreciate.
He said something to me one time, a long time ago, at Chris Knighty's wedding. He told me he'd take me shopping. I looked at him like, What'd you just say? Let me move, man, before I do something. You're gonna make me mess up the wedding.
Oh, that's a nice gesture.
Let me get out of here.
When you look back, 50 was basically the original whistleblower when it came to Diddy. In fact, he seemed to know a lot about Puff long before others had caught on. He even hinted at Diddy spiking others well before anyone else did.
I didn't do nothing Puffy did. It was just so excitement. It's so much excitement that there was no reason for me to put something in our drink.
Oh my God.
I need you to remember this.
But while he routinely made jokes about what Diddy was really like behind the scenes, it wasn't necessarily a concern for others that led 50 to seek to expose Puff. Instead, it was the meddling in others' business that was the real problem.
Is it because of the liquor situation? Because to be honest, since the situation he's in now, it's kind of like you fell back on him. Was this all over the liquor, or you just said?
Well, most of that was motivation. That was competing,
right?
For with brands, and they was ahead of me,
right?
Because he had been working on Ciroc and stuff like that, and then integrating it into our culture with Coco Loso, different things with different people,
right?
Connected to it. So yeah, that's what that was. But if when you look at, he would do a lot of foul shit, like behind the scenes, he would do some foul shit, like. Mm-hmm. Like hating on, like doing things with people I'd done business with, that he done business with. He would say shit that I was like, he said that to you? I'm like, yeah, I said, all right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
despite what his intentions were, 50 is now feeling vindicated by everything Puff has now been exposed as, and even claimed that he will be spearheading a documentary entitled Did He Do It? But above all, he's just happy that people no longer think he's insane for trying to inform the world of what the Bad Boy CEO was really like.
What does it feel like all these years, you've been the only one calling this out?
No, I look like I've been the crazy guy for a long time.
They said you're a hater. They said you're crazy.
Hater. You do this, and now everybody's complaining. My ass is hurting. There's all this shit that's coming.
50, you can't make jokes about it.
No.
The internet might come for you, bro.
All I'm saying
it might come for you.
You see it now. All of these complaints. People were damn, they were
raped and pillaged.
This was
what was going on.
But while it's well known that he felt compelled to tell the whole world about Puff, he wasn't the only one. And for a long time, he has also been going out of his way to try and expose the true character of one of hip-hop's biggest success stories. In a lot of ways, the come-up stories of Jay-Z and 50 Cent mirror one another. Raised in Queens and Brooklyn respectively, both of them began hustling from a young age, seeing no shortage of violence along the way. And to begin with, it seemed like they could coexist once 50 started to gain traction.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Even when Jay got mentioned on 50's infamous track, How to Rob, which is literally about him sticking up the biggest artists in hip-hop for their cash, Hov took it in good humor. But he made no secret of the fact that it couldn't go unpunished.
I ran into Jay at Summer Jam.
So they're backstage and Jay was like,
"Yo, I don't like that record you got. I love that record you got."
The song was hot. 50 was like, "You know, good looking." He's like, "But you know, I gotta get you."
I'm like, "All right, you know, do what you do." I didn't know he meant right then.
So he fired back with a now iconic diss line of his own that goes like this. This was something that 50 clearly respected, and when Hov relayed the story, he did it along the same lines and with no real anger about what went down.
Summer Jam, the first one with the 50 Cent thing, we was on the side of the stage talking about the whole thing. He was like,
"Wait,
you know,
who
you know,
and 50?
Yeah, yeah, I like that record. It was hot. But you know I got to spank you, dog." That was the conversation. No doubt, do your thing.
Right. Give him to the pound.
I'm about a dollar. What the?
But once they were in direct competition, little shots started to be taken in the press. Little more than a year on from Hov appearing on the remix to I Get Money, they were pretty immaturely beefing over who was scarier than who.
I think he would have done that if that was 50 Cent. No one's scared of 50 Cent. I'm just, you know, I want everyone to be clear. No one's scared of 50 Cent. So I just think that that's what he believed. I think it was rude. I thought it was inappropriate.
I've been nominated for 13 Grammys and I have no trophies. That's why I made a statement about Taylor Swift. Like I said, if I was actually updated, he wouldn't come take my trophy.
Right.
Kanye would.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay disagrees. Jay's the coolest punk in hip hop. Kanye would not take a trophy from me. Neither Jay-Z.
Right.
Neither one of them. We'd have had altercation right there.
All of these things are happening because they're comfortable with him. His presentation is...
But you can't.
He's becoming more approachable.
But
let's,
you couldn't
let's
get
just
at
be
little,
honest.
Little mama. You look crazy.
No, but little mama would understand that that ain't a cool space for you to just be walking on to. Even if you appreciate Jay-Z and you enjoy him, you don't just walk on the middle of a man's stage in the set. You know what I mean? Not at a award show.
Over time, 50 has kept this narrative up, maintaining that Jay, who you saw in the early days of his career, and the man he is today are incompatible with each other.
He created this real safe. It wouldn't have been like that if he actually dealt with his issues himself. See, he's a piece of work, man. He always put somebody in front of him. When Jada came for him, he put Beanie in front of him. And Beanie went back and forth with Jadakiss. When Cam came for him, he put True Life in front of him. And they went back and forth. And he just didn't compete.
I think they still harbor some energy towards me. I don't know what those issues are.
And over the years, it's only gotten more hilarious and absurd.
That's when I start saying crazy stuff. That's your big homie. He imaged himself after a gay painter. Big homie wanted to look like a gay painter.
What are we talking about here?
We're talking about Basquiat. He wants to look like a gay painter.
But for 50, he believes that his takedowns of Jay's character are valid, considering that he feels Jay has tried to constrict his movement in other arenas. In the business world, he believes Jay operates in a pretty shady way.
It's your and Jay's issue.
It's just competitive stuff.
It's really just competitive.
This is what I'm saying. When it gets past actual art, like actual music, and you're trying to block something that's in business, then it feels weird. It feels like we should be having beef.
Oh,
okay.
So that's the behind-the-scenes thing that we don't see. It's one thing when there's like people talking about each other in music, but there's behind-the-scenes business deals that a guy is getting involved with on the side, and it's not like you're going to go public and be like, "They tried to stop my vitamin water."
Yo, this deal, and you go, "He said that to you?" Like,
Wow.
Like, they'll speak to your temperament. Like, say, you know, 50's a little crazy. He'll say anything. You see what saying anything did to Kanye.
So they're trying, he's basically trying to scare people out of doing deals with you.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And then M shut it down, and he was like, "Yo, it's
I'm,
gotta
not,
happen.
I'm not. If he's not coming, I'm not coming." And then it changes the whole thing because he really is the biggest one.
Then there was the Super Bowl situation in which Hove was accused of trying to prevent 50 from appearing amid Dr. Dre's career-spanning performance. Of course, 50 didn't exactly keep these negotiations under wraps, and this would go on to strain their relationship too.
Yayo said that 50, I mean, Jay hated on you too. Like, he didn't want you as part of it. Is that true though?
Yeah, it's not a big deal. You know what it is?
What was the reasoning though?
That's competing though, being competitive, and the music is getting passed, music is out.
And according to 50, Jay tried to pass the buck when it came to the whole thing, rather than owning up to his role and trying to keep him down.
Look, I think in that point, yeah, he was hating because he was saying the NFL had an issue with me when I got 11 professional sports teams now that I'm the official champagne and cognac of. And where's the hate there? I don't understand it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so you said that there was an issue. It's an issue because he was doing the program. He didn't want me to be in the show and wouldn't do it without me in the show. And then he made the adjustment.
After all that's happened since the Super Bowl, it's no surprise that 50 will take any opportunity to apply pressure to Jay-Z.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Next. So when Hove's longtime ally, Diddy, started to gain attention for all the wrong reasons, it was no surprise that 50 was right there to point out that Hove seemed to be laying low and staying out of sight of the public.
When's Jay-Z coming back?
When's Jay-Z coming back?
It's been a long time.
When's Jay-Z coming back anywhere? We waiting for him to come a lot of places. I want him to come on the show.
No brunch, no lunch, no dinner. It's hot out here, man. It's hot out here. You gonna see him nowhere.
Then, once the lawsuit against Hove landed, 50 has basically been having a field day on IG. Okay, I don't know what's going on, but are we still gonna have the Super Bowl? Asking for a friend. Jay said, "I R-worded a kid. Everybody get dressed, we going to see Mufasa, lol." Rather than shoot a fellow black man in business some bail, 50 has been reveling in his downfall and even broke down his statement by claiming it was written by an attorney rather than Hove himself.
The statement is something from, you can tell it was written by a lawyer, because there's a point where it kind of gets aggressive. He's like, he says, like, "You're going to find out how I'll handle this." Like, and that's an attorney want to be combative with another attorney. That's not like a publicist wouldn't say those things.
I saw this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And this is on your.
Put that up.
Yeah. This is on. 50? Yeah. It says, "I don't know what's going on, but are we still going to have the Super Bowl? I'm just asking for a friend."
Yeah. I'm asking for Kendrick. You know, right. I'm just trying to figure out if we're still doing everything the way. Because look, they will fall back, but they, like the NFL, they won't necessarily be associated to that.
Why do you not insert yourself, but you're on top of every topic, right? Yeah.
I'm just watching. I'm participating. I'm being part of culture. I'm just telling my opinion.
While Jay has yet to respond, it's become clear once again that 50 is not a man you want to cross. Because if you do, it might just lead to irreparable damage to your reputation. But that said, messing with Jay might be hazardous to more than your career. And until next time, my friends, peace.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.